Oops. I don't know yet. Eyes of the World. That's the Grateful Dead. From Eternally Grateful and Eyes of the World. You know, I'm not that much of a deadhead. I don't know much about the Grateful Dead, but my guest does, Jay Blakesburg. Welcome to WLRN, Jay.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate you having me here.
What can you tell me about Eyes of the World? Because you said
you
liked
that song
too.
Eyes of the World was originally on a studio record called Wake of the Flood. Came out in 1975. Some great songwriting on that record, one of my favorite. And I actually love to listen to the studio version of Eyes of the World, but live, it's one of those songs that, you know, can go on. It could be a 6-minute song, it could be a 26-minute song.
I know you can't answer this, but how many times have you heard that song live?
I can't answer that, but a lot. But you know what? Actually, that song, they played an Eyes of the World at my first Grateful Dead concert, which was Labor Day weekend, September 1st, 1977. And we were briefly talking about this before we were on air, and that was a big show in Englishtown, New Jersey. It was promoted by a guy named John Cher, who was a big Northeast promoter, and he sort of was the Grateful Dead's Northeast guy, like any Dead tours back in the 70s and 80s John Cher was involved in. And Englishtown, it was like 105 degrees. It was the Marshall Tucker Band and the New Riders of the Purple Sage opening. Over 100,000 people showed up. And one of the things we were talking about was they didn't know how to build a strong enough fence around the venue. So they took semi tractor trailer, you know, the back ends of them, the containers, the metal containers, took them off the wheels and laid them on the ground and made this big, giant, you know, fence around it. And that was what the security was to get into this concert, or to keep people out of getting into this concert for free.
There was a concept that people had that music should be free to everybody. So storming the fence and getting in for free that's what they did at Woodstock.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a funny story that Phil Lesh from the Grateful Dead told me. A couple of years ago, on the 50th anniversary of the Grateful Dead, Phil Lesh has a nightclub in San Rafael, California, north of San Francisco, called Terrapin Crossroads. And I was interviewing Phil. He did a whole series of shows celebrating each year in the band's history. So he'd play a set list or songs from that year. And before each show, I'd get up on stage and I'd interview Phil for about 20 minutes about that year in Grateful Dead history. And Phil was telling me about it when they played in Europe in 72, where they made the famous record Europe 72. They did a show in France. And then some like French revolutionaries were outside their hotel window, you know, yelling up to them, you know, in their French accents, you know, the music should be free. It's just the music for the people, you know, and they're, you know, I'm bad. I don't have a French accent, you know,
yeah.
and the crew was like taunting this guy, and they were throwing like food and TVs out the window at these French revolutionaries. And then when the band got on the road the next day to go to the show, you know, because the music should be free, the crew got in their truck and the truck broke down, you know, a few miles outside of, on the way to Nice, France, is where they were going, because the revolutionaries had put like dirt and sugar and mud in the gas tank because they wouldn't play for free. So the Grateful Dead, they went up on stage, and Phil said they're in this little tiny cafeteria with this low ceiling in some place in Nice, France, and nobody speaks English, and they're trying to explain how they can't play a show because their equipment's not there because of the French revolutionary guy. Right? The music should be free. And so they started rushing the stage, and the band ran out the back of the stage and climbed out a window down a drain pipe. And as they're running away, they said, "We'll be back and we'll play for free in Nice." And a couple of nights later, they came back to Nice, France, and they set up in the town square and they played a free concert for all the people in France. So the music is free.
They gave in to him. That's great.
Yeah.
Jay Blakesburg is here in the studio. He's in South Florida. Is it a PowerPoint presentation?
Yeah. So it's a slideshow storytelling presentation. So I, you know, it's not scripted. I just look at my photographs and I basically tell my story about starting as a teenager, suburban New Jersey teenager in the 1970s, getting turned on to the Grateful Dead, and you know, following the band. It's about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Isn't that what everybody wants to hear about? That's basically what it is.
Well, did you live that? You were a photographer.
Well, I was an amateur photographer, you know, as a kid, as a teen. So I started photographing the Grateful Dead when I was 16 years old.
Is that why you were at that first show?
Well, my sister brought me to that concert. I was 15 in Englishtown. I did not bring a camera to that concert. But exactly 1 year later, Labor Day weekend, 1978, John Cher again put on a big show at Giant Stadium in the Meadowlands, right? A big stadium show, 40,000 people. And my dad, who's in Boca right now listening, I believe, to us live here, he loaned me his Pentax camera and I brought it to that concert and I got my first photographs of the Grateful Dead. Developed the film in my basement, the dark room at my mother's house, and made some 8x10s and hung them up on my bedroom wall. And that was really how I got started doing this. Shortly thereafter, I was published for the first time in a magazine with a little, I sent a photo in with a story about Jorma Kaukonen from Hot Tuna, about how we followed his limousine into New York City after a show one night, and I got a picture, and that was a letter for to the editor in Relics magazine. And I tell that story in my slideshow. And I just kept photographing the Grateful Dead. When I moved to the Bay Area after college, you know, I needed to have a career. I needed to make a living. And I felt like I was not qualified to do anything else but take pictures. And so, you know, I worked as hard as I could and I shot every band that came through the Bay Area and eventually started shooting for Rolling Stone magazine. And I've done about 300 assignments for Rolling Stone magazine over the years. My first assignment was actually on November 11th, 1987. So about 31 years ago, I shot a free U2 concert in downtown San Francisco, where they actually, Bono got up on a big ladder on a big outdoor public sculpture and spray painted "Rock and Roll Stops the Traffic" because the freeway went right alongside where they were doing this free concert. And I photographed that for Rolling Stone. And since then, I've done about 300 assignments for the magazine, maybe more. And in the Bay Area, though, in the late 80s, nobody cared about the Grateful Dead in the major media outlets, right?
Was San Francisco the hometown of the Grateful Dead?
The Grateful Dead started in San Francisco, but at this point they had moved up to Marin County, north of the Golden Gate Bridge, and that's where they're all based to this day. Mm-hmm. So in the late 80s, you know, I was busy shooting everything that I could. And so there were, you know, all these alternative rock bands that were starting to happen. The Flaming Lips, 10,000 Maniacs, Jane's Addiction, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Butthole Surfers. You know, there were all these bands. And I was out there photographing these bands in these clubs in San Francisco and the East Bay and wherever I could, sort of building my archive, building my name, starting to show my work to other magazines and some record companies and saying, you know, hire me. That's how you get, you know, that's how you make a living. Is you gotta, you know, and even though I've been doing this now for 40 years, you know, I still feel like I'm still as only as good as my last shoot, right? Like, yeah, it's great that I photographed Jerry Garcia 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and people, you know, see those photographs. But if you're a young art director today, they want to know what you did yesterday. And so I work with all these newer bands. Like there's this incredible band that I just discovered a little over a year ago called Pigeons Playing Ping Pong. And they're from Baltimore, Maryland. And they're incredible. Another band called Twiddle, Spafford, Turquoise, Ghostlight. There's all these bands that are sort of coming up in the footsteps of the Grateful Dead in that jam band world, which, you know, after Jerry Garcia died, was sort of inhabited by Fish and String Cheese Incident and Moe and Humphreys McGee and Widespread Panic. And now there's this new wave of bands. And so I try and remain relevant as a photographer. And I'm out. I see live music, you know, easily 3 or 4 nights a week. Rock and roll keeps us young, Michael.
Jay Blakesburg is in the studio. He's going to be doing 2 presentations, one on Tuesday evening on Miami Beach at the Jewish Community Center. That's at the address is not popping out in front of me at the moment.
Pine Tree Drive over in Miami Beach.
That's around 40th Street.
Yeah, it starts about 7:30. And so what I do is I get up and I do my presentation, and it's about 75 minutes long, slideshow storytelling. I promise you, I'll make you laugh. I'll make you cry.
Oh, that's on Tuesday night. That's Tuesday night.
And then on Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, we are at the Dave Posnack Jewish Community Center in Davie at 5850 South Pine Island Road. And that's 7:30 also. So Tuesday and Wednesday, you're in South Florida.
So on the Tuesday one in Miami, after I do Miami my presentation. Beach. Miami Beach. Thank you. On the Miami Beach JCC. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, after I do my presentation, we'll have live music by a band called Unlimited Devotion, which is a Grateful Dead tribute band, and they have a special guest, Roosevelt Collier, who is like a sacred steel guy.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And so that's Tuesday night, so it's some live music, and then on Wednesday at the David Posnick JCC in Davie, Florida, right next to Fort Lauderdale, after I do my presentation, I'm going to interview Oteil Burbridge on stage. And Oteil is an incredible musician who currently is in Dead & Company, which is the current version of the Grateful Dead. It's got 3 of the founding members of the Grateful Dead.
What's the name of it?
They're called called Dead and Company.
Okay.
And he lives locally here in Boca. I think he lives in Boca or Del Rey, right around there. And so he's going to come and speak. After I speak, I'm going to interview him on stage. And he was also a member of the Allman Brothers Band for 20 years before joining Dead & Co. Obviously, when Greg Allman passed away, he no longer had that gig. And so he's sort of been part of this jam band scene for, you know, going on 3 decades now. And so that'll be a really cool thing up in Davie, Florida. And that's on Wednesday night.
Well, the Grateful Dead, is that... That's the mainstay of your photography. That's what started you on your career?
Well, sure. I mean, that was certainly the first band that got that published me, and that was sort of, you know, I think that if you were to talk to people, they'd be like, oh, yeah, Jay Blakesburg, he's that Grateful Dead photographer. People who know me or know my work. And obviously with social media, you know, my work has spread further than it's ever spread before.
Were you one of those guys who used to have 100 pounds of equipment around your shoulders on the front and all the way in the front and block everybody?
I look like Dennis Hopper in Apocalypse Now with all the cameras around
right.
my neck,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And
you have to have guts to be able to stand in front and ignore everybody else,
you
right?
You kind of do have to have a little bit of, you know, cojones to do that. Yeah, for sure. But you know what? It's you do your best to respect the people. You don't want to block people. You don't want to stay somewhere too long. You don't want to overstay your welcome. You know, I'm very fortunate also. Like, so the way that the photography world typically works at rock concerts is if you have a press pass or a media pass, you go in, you shoot the first 3 songs or 20 minutes in the photo pit in front of the stage, and then you're escorted out. And depending on the band and the artist or the venue, you can stay in the venue and shoot from up in the wings or shoot some wide shots to show the lighting and the crowds and things like that. But I've sort of, you know, reached this level in my career that I'm typically allowed to shoot whole shows. And so I might stay in the pit for a little bit, then I might go up on stage, then I might go in the balcony, I come back down, I might be behind the drum riser to get a shot. You know, I'm kind of floating all around and moving and shooting a whole show to try and capture that zeitgeist, that moment, that magical musical moment.
Is it important to know the band?
I think it helps to know the music. It's not important to know the band unless you're a groupie.
Were you a dead group? You were a deadhead.
Of course, yeah. You can't quit the mob. I'm still a groupie.
So how much traveling did you do with the Dead?
Well, I mean, when I was a younger kid and I followed the Grateful Dead, I saw the Grateful Dead from Maine to Florida, from San Diego to Alaska, and everywhere in between.
And how did you make your living?
We sold, so I would make 8x10 black and white glossy photographs in my basement darkroom, and I would sell them in the parking lot. And we also sold LSD.
How can you work under the influence of LSD?
It's not quite so easy to take pictures when you're tripping, but, it has been done. It can be done.
How important is that part of the Grateful Dead culture?
I don't necessarily know if it's important. I think it is. It's relevant. I think that the Grateful Dead came out of the San Francisco modern day hippie tribe, Haight-Ashbury psychedelic era, and there were, you know, LSD was legal until October 6, 1966. So there was a whole slew of early Grateful Dead concerts. You know, the whole story where Ken Kesey was given LSD and just stay in a padded room so the government could watch him and see what happened, right? And you can see some of these videos. There's some like videos from the 1950s and 60s of people taking LSD and being watched by the government. And so, you know, the LSD obviously heightens your awareness and opens up your mind to many possibilities. And so that music, which is experimental and improvisational, worked well with that type of drug. And so people continued to do it after LSD became illegal. And, you know, people had their minds blown while taking psychedelics and listening to the Grateful Dead. I mean, what else can you say?
A lot of people.
I'm one of those people, you know.
A lot of people say you can't really enjoy a Grateful Dead show unless you're high.
No, that's not true. I think that there is so much going on at a Grateful Dead concert.
And well, what is it? What is it about it that attracts you?
So, well, for me as a fan, as a younger fan, you know, psychedelics were certainly part of it, you know, enhancing that experience. But it was this music that resonated. So, you know, Bob Weir once said, you know, we are misfits playing for misfits. So we were this group of people that really didn't fit in anywhere. Like, we were a little bit different. We were born with that weird psychedelic DNA, and we didn't sort of fit in with, like, a lot of normal people, right? And so we were weirdos, and we liked weird music, right? And we listened to music from the Haight-Ashbury. We listened to the Grateful Dead and the Jefferson Airplane or the Charlatans or, you know, other bands from that era that, you know, that came out of that scene. And, you know, and the Grateful Dead played this improvisational music. They never played the same show twice. They never played the same song the same way twice. So, you know, every show was different, which is why you could go to so many shows, right? I did a book a couple of years ago called Hippie Chick, A Tale of Love, Devotion, and Surrender, right? And it's a book of photographs. I've done 13 coffee table books on my music photography. And Hippie Chick is about women and their connection to live music. And the title, Love, Devotion, and Surrender, is from a John McLaughlin record, right, of course, and Mahavishnu Orchestra. And so love is how you fall in love with a band. You fall in love with a lyric, a song, a community, a group of people. Devotion is how you're devoted to that band. You travel long distances to see them. You collect their memorabilia. You collect their music. And surrender is going to the show and surrendering and being in the moment. And that's what we did with the Grateful Dead as fans, not only as women, but as men, as all of us. And then the other thing is that as a photographer, you know, I brought my camera into a lot of Grateful Dead shows, and sometimes I wasn't even photographing the band. I was photographing the fans, right? And so you're standing there in front of this group of people who are losing their minds because of the music, right? Dancing wildly, and it's this incredible divine symmetry happening right in front of you, right? And there's all this raw energy, this raw sexual desire going on in front of you, right? And on top of that, there's this music playing that really moves all of us who are deadheads and are there, right? It's this crazy, incredible music that's like just, you know, really, really turning us on. And then on top of that are these lyrics written by Robert Hunter or John Perry Barlow mostly, but mostly Robert Hunter, that, you know, include characters like, you know, gamblers and thieves, cowboys and lovers, mystical creatures like dragons with matches, which is from a song called Scarlet Begonias, you know. And so there's these lyrics, there's this music, there's these people, there's this sweat, love, devotion, surrender, energy, and I've got a camera and I'm photographing it. And it's just like this incredible moment being captured, lightning in a bottle with a click of a shutter. And that's what I've been doing for 40 years. And that's what I talk about when I go to my show in Davie and Miami Beach this Tuesday and Wednesday.
Jay Blakesburg is here. Are you part of the crowd or are you outside photographing? Taking photos. Are you part of that scene?
Oh, absolutely. Which is why I've been able to get these intimate photos over all these years, because we're family.
But you're working too.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm that guy that started on one side of the rail and floated to the other side of the rail. So I went from the audience to in front of the stage to on the stage to backstage, right? So even though I have that all access pass, I'm still part of that family, and they're my people. That's my people, and I've been photographing those people for 40 years. You know, I like to just say what I do with a camera is I create visual anthropology, right? Anthropology being the study of humankind, right? So, you know, you think of anthropology, well, I'm going to go to South America and study this tribe that nobody saw for 50 years that we first discovered in 1960. Well, 1960 was only, you know, 60 years ago, right? And the modern day hippie movement is 55 years old. It started in 1963, 64 in San Francisco, and I've been photographing it since 1978. So, you know, almost the entire history of this modern day hippie tribe I've been photographing. And so that's why it is visual anthropology.
Jay Blakesburg is here. He's Tuesday evening. He'll be at the JCC on Miami Beach, and Wednesday evening at the JCC in Davie, the David Posnick Jewish Center, on Wednesday night. You've done more than the Grateful Dead, but sticking on the Dead for a moment, I know they started off as a jug band.
Sure.
And so they have folk roots.
Absolutely.
And they bring that into their shows as well. There's a traditional aspect of their concerts.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not uncommon for them to break out some acoustic guitars and play a song in the middle of a set for an encore. Garcia had a long time relationship with David Grisman. David Grisman is a mandolin player, Bay Area based, goes way back. They met on the bluegrass circuit in the 60s, you know, Garcia and a guy named Sandy Rothman got in a car in like 62 or 3 or something like that, and drove to the East Coast with a little tape recorder to go to bluegrass festivals, right? Because that's what turned them on. So, you know, Garcia has an interest in the banjo and acoustic guitar and pedal steel guitar. And, you know, so they were Mother McCree's Uptown Jug Champions. And, you know, it was probably LSD that made them go electric, right? And, you know, so they went electric, but those roots were always there. I mean, Garcia, throughout his whole career, played lots of acoustic shows with David Grisman and with his band, and with John Kahn, a bass player, played stand-up bass. And, you know, there's lots and lots of stuff. And then, of course, there's a million, you know, tributes there, and you have a CD in your
hand. Well, let me, can you stick around for a little bit?
Yeah.
Let me play this. This will take us to the top of the hour, and then I'll talk to Jay Blakesburg just for a little while. But this was one of the first Dead cover bands that I discovered, Wake the Dead, and this is from the year 2000. I'm not sure. It must have been before that.
No, so this band is from the Bay Area.
It's called Wake the Dead.
And it's Celtic versions of Grateful Dead songs, and it's really a beautiful record. And when I first got here and he said, hey, I might play something off of this, I grabbed the CD. I said, well, that's great, but I shot that record. So the photos of the band in that record are photos that I took, and they did another record, which I also photographed for them. But they were Bay Area guys, and the main guy, Paul, in that band, he worked at a magazine called Acoustic Guitar Magazine for many years, and I've shot covers for acoustic guitar and feature stories, and so he knew me through the magazine, and he hired me to come and shoot his band for that record.
That would be Paul Kotopisch.
Correct.
And I knew Danny Carnahan from the band.
Yep, also another Bay Area guy, yeah.
Very exciting. So let me play this, and then go to the top of the hour, and I'll talk more to Jay Blakesburg. Jay is doing a presentation Tuesday evening at the JCC on Miami Beach, and he's also going to be at the JCC in Davie on Wednesday evening. I'll tell you more information, but first, there's Wake the Dead with a trio of Dead songs.
$20 bill and he vanished in the air. out of run, I'm gonna take my time. Friend of the devil is a friend of mine. If I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Got two reasons why I cry away each lonely night. First one's named Sweet Anne-Marie, and she's my heart's delight. Second one is Prison Dave, a sheriff's on my train. And if he catches up with me, I'll spend my life in jail.
Music from Wake the Dead, a Celtic cover band of the Grateful Dead. We heard Banks of Loghanna, The Reunion, and Friend of the Devil from Wake the Dead. We're going to be talking more to Jay Blakesburg, rock and roll photographer, after these messages. This is Folk and Acoustic Music. My name is Michael Stock, here every Sunday on 91.3 WLRN and HD1 Miami Fort Lauderdale, 91.5 WKWM and HD1 Marathon Key West, 90.7 WFLV HD2 West Palm Beach, and 101.9 NPR for the Palm Beaches.
On November 27th, Dave Cause celebrates his 21st year of holiday spirit at the Parker Playhouse. The holidays have always been about bringing close friends together and celebrating the season with good times and great music. Saxophonist and 9-time Grammy nominee Dave Cause has been doing it for 2 decades with talented friends and collaborators on a tour that brings the Yuletide spirit to devoted audiences. Cause brings with him Mindy Hebert, Jonathan Butler, and keyboardist Keiko Matsui. Tickets available at parkerplayhouse.com.
Grow your business or event and increase awareness by branding your company as a WLRN on-air sponsor. WLRN reaches an educated, affluent audience from Key West to Jupiter. For more information, go to WLRN.org/underwriting.
Coming up Sunday on WLRN-TV, capture the spirit of America's folk renaissance when songs written from the hearts of activists provided the soundtrack for unprecedented change. Watch Peter, Paul, and Mary at Newport, Sunday night at 8:30 on WLRN Channel 17.
We're funded by WLRN members and by Conserve Art. Since 1951, professional art restoration and conservation of paintings, works on paper, and collectibles damaged by fire, flood, or accident. Insurance claims and custom framing are specialties. More at conserveart.net. Filmgate Interactive Media Festival returns to downtown Miami during Art Basel Week 2018. You can connect with innovators in journalism, filmmaking, virtual and augmented reality, games, and interactive art. Join talks with The Washington Post, Magic Leap, Vice, Vox Media, and more. Plus, explore a sensory playground of 35 VR, AR, and interactive experiences like the groundbreaking Spheres produced by Darren Aronofsky. Festival passes are now on sale at filmgate.miami.
What makes us speak up?
Moral conviction. We are, as human beings, moral beings. We believe in principles. We are driven by values.
Even when
we're going to suffer a lot of punishment and backlash for doing so.
I'm Guy Raz, speaking up next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Tune into the TED Radio Hour this evening at 7 right here on 91.3 WLRN. This is Folk and Acoustic Music. My name is Michael Stock, in the studio with photographer Jay Blakesburg, who's giving a presentation Tuesday evening in Miami Beach and Wednesday evening in Davie at the Jewish Community Center of both towns. And Jay, when did you realize that you were going to be a professional photographer?
Even when I was shooting like regularly for magazines and getting jobs, like I always felt like it could disappear at any moment. You know, like it took many, many years before like I felt like, okay, I've arrived. I'm good. My name is out there. I'm going to keep getting work. But as a freelancer, you're always wondering, oh my God, will the phone ring tomorrow? Will I get that, call for the next job? And, but I guess I considered myself probably a professional photographer when I really started getting regular assignments for magazines, which is the late 80s, going into the 90s. I started shooting, I think I shot my first cover for Guitar Player magazine in 89 or 90. I'd have to go back and look, but it was with Michael Hedges. You know who Michael Hedges is, right?
My first concert with Michael Hedges.
So I'll tell you a funny Michael Hedges story, right?
Okay. Well, first of all, if people don't know, he is an outstanding guitarist, probably brought the art level ahead many decades with his
groundbreaking acoustic guitar player. And so Michael was known for two things, right? His extraordinary guitar playing and his long, long, big, bushy hair, right?
When I booked him, he did have long hair,
right?
Yes.
And so I get this call to go up and shoot him up in Mendocino on the little farm that he lived on for Guitar Player magazine. And I get up there and he had just shaved his head like 3 weeks earlier. Okay, so he was so freaked out by not having any hair because he's got like this mop of hair that he wore this like Tibetan hat, and I did the photographs from him. And then 8 years later, I get a call from his manager saying, hey, Michael's going to be in town and we need to do some new publicity photos. Can you do a new publicity shoot? So this is, 3-4 weeks out. So we schedule this photo shoot with him and he gets there the day of the shoot. And the day before the shoot, he shaved his head. He hadn't cut his hair in the 8 years from the last photo shoot that I did. So the both photo shoots that I have of him, he's got these shaved heads and which is kind of funny, but I never saw Michael perform. But he performed for me when I was doing the photo shoot. But
no, he's amazing.
But Michael is an incredible musician. But that was my first Guitar Player magazine shoot. We were talking earlier about Garcia and Grisman and Wake the Dead. Paul worked at Acoustic Guitar magazine, and so I got hired to do a cover of Garcia and Grisman. And Garcia, whenever I photographed him, and I had 3 or 4 one-on-one photo shoots with Jerry over the years. And, any musician like Jerry, Neil Young, Carlos Santana, people, Graham Nash, people that have been around for 50 years, like they're over the photo shoot. Like they've done thousands of them. They have no interest in it. They have no interest in the creative possibilities, what they get out of it. They just want to go and have lunch. Okay. Like they don't really care about me. And me, I want to make the most brilliant photograph that I could possibly make. Because if I don't make a brilliant photograph, why would that magazine or that record company or that art director ever hire me again? Right? You're only as good as your last photograph. And so typically, like when I would shoot Garcia, like I might get 3 minutes with him, 5 minutes from him. But the best way to get a lot of time out of him was to just let him play music and ignore you. Right. And so I had David Grisman and Jerry Garcia in front of this backdrop in David Grisman's living room in Mill Valley. And I just said, just play. And they started playing, and I was shooting and getting all these good shots of the two of them. And then Garcia started singing. And, like, you can't have somebody singing if you're trying to shoot a magazine cover because their mouth will be all, like, wonky and out of shape, you know? And so I'm, like, the only guy in the world who ever told Jerry Garcia to stop singing. I'm like, Jerry, just hum along in your head. Keep playing. That's great. You know, but the photo shoot lasted, like, 35 or 40 minutes because they just, like, played and kind of ignored me. And that was, like, you know, one of those great moments. So
what makes your photographs special?
You'd have to ask the people that look at them. I mean, I know what that makes them special for me, but I think that my photographs help tell a story. I think that they help define a time and a place. I think that they connect people to something important in their lives. So a lot of, you know, there's a huge community of people that their social lives revolve around the live music experience. And I think a lot of people want to connect to that live experience after it's over with some sort of memento. And, you know, we live in an age where all of us that were 20 something when we started following the Grateful Dead are now 50 something. We have careers, we've had jobs, we're empty nesters. Maybe the kids are out of college. We have some disposable income. You know, 20 years ago, nobody wanted to buy a picture of Jerry Garcia and hang it on their office wall or their living room wall or their music room or their man cave. And now that we're older, like, we want to touch that magic again, right? So that was a really magical time for a lot of people back in the 80s and the 90s when Jerry was alive. And so people want to buy that artwork. And so at the JCCs, both Miami Beach and Davie, I'll have books for sale. I'll have my photographs for sale. So if you're looking to do a little Hanukkah or Christmas shopping, come on down. This is the place to go.
Well, you've photographed a lot of folks. You've also photographed folk musicians.
Yes.
Is there a difference between photographing rock and rollers and folk musicians?
There really isn't. I mean, you know, you can shoot rock and rollers and you can put them in front of a dilapidated, rusted out, old, falling down warehouse. And you could do that with a folk musician, but you might want to put the folk musician like in the woods or on the on the horse trail. Or, you know, I mean, when I photograph a musician, I try and learn as much about them as I can. And because I want to put them in environments that I feel like reflect the music that they're playing. So I just did a photo shoot about a month ago with Les Claypool and Sean Lennon. So Sean is obviously John Lennon's son, and Les Claypool has been called Primus. And I've been working with Primus for almost 30 years now. Actually, I think it is exactly 30 years that I've been shooting those guys. And their theme was like this very sci-fi outer space thing. And so we went out to like all the way out to the ocean in Sonoma County, and we found this like rock formation, and we photographed them on this rock formation so that when their art director took that photo and brought it into Photoshop and created all these planets in the background, and it really looks like they're on some sort of planet, you know? And so we were trying to create a vibe, you know, that reflected the other art on the record and the music a little bit. And so, but, you know, a lot of times, like with a lot of folk musicians and a lot of people that have been around for a long time, we were talking earlier about me, like I photographed Doc Watson and Earl Scruggs, and these guys had, you know, Ralph Stanley, these guys had these incredible faces. And so there was a woman named Jody Peckman, and she was the art director, photo editor at Rolling Stone magazine for over 30 years. She recently just left. And she was my first photo editor at Rolling Stone, gave my first assignment there. And she would always say, if you're in a space and it's not an interesting space to photograph an environment, you know, go in tight on their face, you know, and if they have an interesting face, get, you know, show that, show those wrinkles, you know, show that time worn look. And I've done that with people like Ralph Stanley and Doc Watson and people like that. And so, you know, these are guys that were making music in, you know, in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. I have this incredible photograph that I did at Hardly Strictly Bluegrass a number of years ago. And it's got Doc Watson, Earl Scruggs, Ralph Stanley, and Del McCoury in it, right? This is like the Mount Rushmore of bluegrass. And after I took that picture, there was a San Francisco Chronicle writer standing next to me. He looks at me, he goes, if this was the 1950s and you took that photo and TMZ existed, that would be on TMZ.
Hardly Strictly Bluegrass. That's a big free bluegrass festival out in
San Francisco and Golden Gate Park. Yeah, it's been going on for about 17 years. I've photographed 16 of the 17 years. And it's a gift to the city of San Francisco by a gentleman named Warren Hellman. And Warren was a very successful businessman, billionaire. And he wanted to put on a festival for his sister. Nancy Bechtel is his sister's name. And and Nancy's favorite artist was Emmylou Harris, and Emmylou Harris has played at all 17 Hardly Strictly Bluegrass. And sadly, we lost Warren a couple of years ago, about 5 or 6, 7 years ago, but the festival's endowed. I heard him on a radio show one time in San Francisco saying that the festival is endowed for 10 years. But I was talking to somebody else recently who was saying that the stock market has done so good that it is now really, it can go on for like 50 more years. And, you know, and this is a festival that they spend millions of dollars on every year. But there's that, you know, the money was invested so wisely by Warren that this thing could go on. And there's no corporate sponsorship, none, nothing. You know, it's just, you know, they don't make their money on selling beer or merchandise or having the big logo that says, you know, this car manufacturer, you know, this giant corporate, it's none of that. It's just a gift to the city.
That's
it's
in San Francisco.
In San Francisco, first weekend in October every year, and it's all free.
Jay Blakesburg is here. He's going to be doing his slideshow storytelling presentation Tuesday evening at the Jewish Community Center in Miami Beach. That's on Pine Tree Drive and I believe around 39th, 40th Street. And also on Wednesday night, Jay will be at the Dave Posnack Jewish Community Center, 5850 South Pine Island Road. I do have a phone number, 954-434-0499 and extension 370 for an evening with Jay Blakesburg. And they both also include interviews, the JCC with music, and you have an interview.
Yeah, with Oteil Burbridge. Yeah, the one in Miami Beach, we'll do a little Q&A after I do my presentation, and then live music, and then in Davie, Florida, we'll do my presentation, then we'll do the interview with Oteil Burbridge, who, like I said, is in Dead & Co. and was in the Allman Brothers. And
are you still worried about your next gig?
Not so much. you know, I still love to shoot, and I still love to capture the live concert experience, and I still need to make a living. You know, I still have bills to pay and things like that, but, you know, I'm not as concerned, and you know what FOMO is? Fear of missing out.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't have so much FOMO anymore that if I don't go shoot something or I don't get a job that, you know, it really irks me or bugs me. I'm just sort of like, you know, I'm a go with the flow kind of guy these days. And I feel very fortunate that I can make a living still and did make a living for, you know, close to 40 years.
Did you go to college?
I did. I went to the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington.
Photography?
I did study photography and filmmaking. I'm also a filmmaker and mm-hmm. have done some short films and stuff like that. But yeah, you know, in this day and age here, we call it content creation. I create content. I create content and license it across multiple platforms. That's what I do for a living.
Well, it's very exciting.
Yeah, and you know, if you want to find out more about me, you can go to my website, blakesburg.com, blakesberg.com. I have another website, which you can get to through Blakesburg, called Rock Out Books, and you can go and see all my books there. And like I said, I make a living, you know, by selling my books. So if you're looking for that, a gift. On Instagram, I'm at Jay Blakesburg. On Facebook, I'm Jay Blakesburg Photography. On Twitter, I'm at Jay Blakesburg. I post a lot of content, and people like it. People enjoy, you know, looking at what I post.
One more question, mainly because I'm a Dylan fan. Have you worked with Dylan?
So I've photographed Dylan on stage a handful of times. I'm a big Dylan, huge Dylan fan as well, without a doubt, and have been for a long time. And I've seen Dylan a bunch of times.
You saw him, did he talk to the audience? Or was he always kind of cold?
Nah, the last time I saw him, he did not really talk to the audience. It's been about 5 years since I've seen Dylan, I want to say. But I've seen him in some of the small venues that he's done recently. I hear this tour is great. I have a good friend who's the president of the Bob Dylan fan club. shout out to my friend Kate up in Ohio. And she says that these shows have been incredible on this tour. So,
well, what do you expect from the president of a Bob Dylan fan
club? Yeah, exactly. I'm a big fan of Dylan. I photographed him playing with the Dead two nights in 87.
Oh.
In
okay.
Oakland, California, and also up in Eugene, Oregon. I photographed him in San Francisco. He did a show. So Dylan doesn't let anybody photograph him. Like, there's a zero photo policy on Bob Dylan. And so...
how did you get access?
Well, with the Dead.
Oh.
So with the Grateful Dead, they, which was very cool, never had any photo restrictions for fans. So anybody was allowed to bring a camera into a Grateful Dead concert at any time. So when Dylan played with the Dead in 87, I just shot from the audience as a fan. I didn't have a press credential or anything like that. I was just in the audience. When when Dylan played with The Dead, which was another incarnation of the band about in 2003 or four it was, he did a string of like three or four shows because I was the band photographer. They sort of like scooted me in front of the stage real quick and said, shoot real quick. And I shot like one or two quick songs. I think in those two songs, I shot 10 rolls of film with Bob Dylan because it's such a rare moment. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 95, when they opened the big opening, the big stadium show in Cleveland, I shot him there, but they had to shoot from a little bit further back. So I've shot Dylan 4, 5, 6 times in concert, but never like one-on-one with a portrait or anything like that.
An exciting career you've had, Jay.
I feel really lucky. I got that Willy Wonka golden ticket, you know, when I was a teenager, and been going ever since.
Jay Blakesburg will be doing his presentation Tuesday night in Miami Beach at the Jewish Community Center and on Wednesday night in Davie at the David Posnack Jewish Community Center. What's the connection with the Jewish Community Center?
So the woman at the Davie Florida JCC, her name is Maya Harvey, and she's listening right now. I think she's up in Atlanta, Georgia, visiting family, I think is what she said. She's a deadhead, and she's a fishhead. And she had contacted me, I think, a year and a half ago, and I had completely forgotten about it. Because it's hard, like, so if I come down here, you know, I have to be able to have my books and my photographs, because that's how we pay for these things, right? And so the woman who does my pop-up art galleries, Marianne, who's also down here in Florida now listening, she drove down from Woodstock, New York with all my books and all my photographs. And we don't just show Grateful Dead photographs. We show pictures of the Rolling Stones and David Bowie and Bob Dylan. And so all this stuff is available for purchase at these events. But Maya at the Davie, Florida JCC, I ran into her husband at a Dead show in Boulder this last summer, and he introduced himself to me. And Maya was off getting refreshments or something, and he's like, I don't know where Maya is, but she'd love to meet you. Never met her, but a week later she called me.
That is just great.
And I said, you know what, my dad's in Boca, I'd love to come and see him. You know, I see my dad regularly, but I hadn't been to Boca in a couple of years. And I said, let's see if we can put it together, but the only way it works for me financially is I have to do 3 gigs. And so she tried to get me 2 other gigs. She got me she connected me with a woman named Karen, who is at the Miami Beach JCC, does the adult programming. Karen Sepson-Wall, who oddly enough, her husband's father and mother live a block away from me in San Francisco, and I met them in San Francisco the other day, right, before I came here. So she connected me to Karen at the JCC in Miami Beach, and they agreed to do an event there. And then I put together an event in Tampa, Florida on this Thursday. So I'm doing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Miami Beach, Davie, Florida, Tampa, Skipper's Smokehouse up in Tampa on Thursday night.
Did you have this in the back of your mind years ago when you were taking photos?
Never.
Giving these presentations?
Never.
And what sparked it?
When I put out my Hippie Chick book. So I had done a bunch of other, you know, like I said, I've done 13 coffee table books in my music photography. And a lot of times, you know, we'd go and we'd do like a book release event. And it's basically me sitting at a table and people coming up and buying a book, and I'd sign it for them and I'd shake their hand or do a selfie or whatever. And I just felt like that was lame. And so when I did my Hippie Chick book, I was like, you know what? I want to go out there and I want to like speak and I want to like tell the story about these photographs. And so I put together a little slideshow that was maybe 30 minutes long about the Hippie Chick book. And that just kept expanding. And now I have 2 different presentations. I have this Grateful Dead one, which is called Between the Dark and Light, the Grateful Dead Photography of Jay Blakesburg. And that's what I'm doing at these 3 gigs here in Florida. And then I have one called Chasing the Light, the Rock and Roll Photography of Jay Blakesburg, that includes telling stories about photographing Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and Neil Young and Carlos Santana and Robert Plant and Ben Harper and the Grateful Dead and Pearl Jam and Fish and all this other stuff. And so I have 2 different presentations and I sort of flip-flop between the two. But for this one, I'm doing just, you know, the Grateful Dead. And it's what happened was I was doing the Chasing the Light one and I'd already had done it at an event in Colorado. Do you know bluegrass band called Leftover Salmon?
Oh, sure.
So they're good friends of mine. And they did a really cool event in Colorado the last 5 years up in Estes Park, which mm-hmm. is where the Stanley Hotel is, which is where Stephen King wrote The Shining, mm-hmm. in that mm-hmm. hotel. And so I did my Chasing the Light slideshow there 1 year. And they said, hey, do you want to do it again this next year? And I said, you know what? How about if I do a Grateful Dead slideshow, because I've never done that before. So I put together just one on the Grateful Dead, and it was a big hit. People loved it. I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. So I just sort of expanded on it, flushed it out, and it keeps changing slightly, and I add in more stuff, and I take out some stuff, and you know, and I try and make it an inspirational story that, you know, that there's this spark out there that you can go after, and if you can touch that spark and feel that magic, you can, you know, create your own reality. And if you want to be a photographer like me, and that's what you wanted to do, and that's what you loved, that's what happened.
Jay Blakesburg here in the studio in South Florida tomorrow, Tuesday evening in Miami Beach, Wednesday evening in Davie. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story.
Michael, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And I think I'm going to go and tour the Miami Beach Botanical Gardens right now.
Oh, good. Outstanding. Yeah. Well, let me play one more Jerry Garcia. This isn't the Dead, but Jerry and Garcia and David Grisman were neighbors.
They were musical partners. They had a band called Olden in the Way. You know what Olden in the Way was?
Sure.
Which was, you know, their bluegrass thing back in the 70s. Uh-huh. And they were longtime friends. And then, yeah, Garcia was living in Marin, obviously, and Grisman as well. And they, you know, this was just an outlet. Garcia just would go to Grisman's house and they had a studio in his basement and they made all these records and recorded all this music together and put primarily acoustic records. Yeah.
Well, this is one that Jerry Garcia made with David Grisman called Not for Kids Only, featuring a lot of children's songs.
Which I love that record.
It's great. Here's one of the songs. And Jay, again, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me. All right, cheers.
Here's Jenny Jenkins.
Jenny Jenkins. No, I won't wear white, for the color's too bright. I'll buy me a foldy roly tilly tolly, seek a double user, cause a roll to find me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll. Will you wear green, oh my dear, oh my dear? Will you wear green, Jenny Jenkins? No, I won't wear green, it's a shame to be seen. I'll buy me a foldy roly tilly tolly, seek a double user, cause you roll to find me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll. Will you wear blue, oh my dear, oh my dear? Will you wear blue, Jenny Jenkins? No, I won't wear blue, for the color's too true. I'll buy me a foldy roly tilly tolly, seek a double user, cause you roll to find me.